The scripture
that I'll go back Sunday school if you want.
That's okay. We're fine. So the scripture this morning is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden." Now, I don't know about you, but there are times, especially in the summer, early in the morning, walking in the cool of the day is actually a very pleasant experience. It's quiet. Nature seems to be vibrant around you. There's something about walking in a garden in the cool of the day early in the morning. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is the garden that he created. And there he was with Adam and Eve, or at least he thought so, but they were hiding away from him, and that tells you something. But the Lord created that garden. The Lord created Adam and Eve and mankind. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is the creator? I mean, really. You know, today, probably one of the biggest topics of conversation, and I know it is taught, is the debate over how did the earth get to the way it is today? How is it that we can see the beautiful sunshine and the trees that are starting to bud and the daffodils that are coming up and showing them? How is it that what Peter read this morning, and I know it was a long psalm, 104, thanks for your patience, but that whole psalm was about the Lord creating and why he created it and what the creation does, that the water feeds the ground and the grass grows and it feeds the cattle. And of course, we all know this, you're farmers, some of you, that this was all created. But no, there are others who will say, no, it's by evolution. It was all by evolution. You know, it's interesting, in today's Daily Bread, I don't know if you've read it, just happened to be this morning, the very last paragraph, it says, "God's first utterance in the work of creation was to give light. That wasn't because he needed light to do his work. No, the light was for us. Light enables us to see him. Light enables us to see Jesus Christ and to identify his fingerprints on the creation all around us, to discern what is good from what is not good, and to follow Jesus one step at a time in this vast world." In yesterday's scripture that was, I don't know how this all, it's amazing how this all comes together. In yesterday's scripture that was sent out by John, it says in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." I was reading about a story, about this story is about a science professor who constructed a planetarium, a very precisely scaled model of the universe. I don't think it could have been the universe. I would hope it was just the sun and the planets around it, because if he did the universe, he doesn't have enough space to do a model of the universe. But he creates this universe or this model, and a student comes into his office and asked him, "Who made it?" And the professor said, "No one." And the student laughed and asked again, no, come on. He says, "Who made this fantastic model? Who made this fantastic piece of work?" And the professor replied, "No one. It just happened." The student became confused and angry, and the professor said, "Well, if you can go out of this class and look at nature around you and believe it just happened, then you can also believe this precise piece of work just happened without a creator." All right. You know what happens to us, though? We get so embroiled in trying to prove creation by disproving evolution. But what we really need to be doing is to believing that there is a creator, that there is truth about the creator, that there is a plan that he has written down for us, and he has handed it down through the ages. You see, if you can prove that there is a creator, the way we prove it is through his word and by the truth. Where is that truth? That truth is in God's word. Well, some will say, well, God's word, this is just a bunch of things put together by different people, and it's nice reading and it's good prose, and you know, it's beautifully presented in all of the different languages. But hang on a second. You see, in the Bible, in John 17, verse 17, it says, to sanctify them by the truth, because your word is truth. In Psalm 18, verse 30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all of who take refuge in him. So is this the truth? Is this word the truth? Is all of it the truth? If it is the truth, then God is the great creator. You know, the Bible was not written by ordinary men. I'm sorry, it was written by ordinary men. Excuse me. It wasn't written by a bunch of academics or a bunch of philosophers and scientists and a whole bunch of, you know, the authors of this book, some of them were actually fishermen. You know, this book that we call the Bible was written over 1,400 years. It started, 1,500 years. It started, the first writing was done in 1400 BC, and it was continued to be written by over 40 different authors in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, up until the end of the 90 AD. For 1,500 years, this was put together. It's historically accurate. I really enjoy reading Kings and Chronicles and who was the king of Israel and who was the king of Judah. And of course, if we just did the Daniel Bible study and all about Nebuchadnezzar and all of these other things, all of that history that is written in the Bible happened. Jesus himself believed in what was written and quoted scripture. The prophecies all through the Old Testament about there being a Messiah, they were all fulfilled. This book, when you look at it, 40 different people writing over 1,400 to 1,500 years, all at different times, all in different languages, all proclaimed and all had one message. And that one message is that there was one person, and it is about that person, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It all comes together. And how is it that these 40 different people wrote the things that were to be read by us? Here we are, thousands of years later, or 2,000 years later. It was done because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 20 to 21, it says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that inspired the writings of each of the 66 books that we read in the Bible. So, is this the truth? If it is the truth, do you believe everything that is written? Or are you willing to take a few pieces out here and there and just accept the parts that you like? You see, by proving God's word is the truth has far more implications than the fact that this earth and the heavens above were created by God. That there is a great creator. There are four basic truths in God's word that we should all know and all believe. You see, the first truth is that if he is the great creator, we are accountable to God. We are accountable to him and his wrath. I'll read, I forgot to put the scripture up. I'll read for Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." The people who suppress the truth. We are accountable to God. If you believe God is the great creator, we are accountable to him. We didn't create ourselves. We are not self-reliant, nor are we self-accountable. God created the world and everything that is in it. We are made by him. You may not like this, but we are owned by him. We are dependent on him, and therefore we are accountable to God. When Paul in Acts 17 was standing on Mars Hill, you remember we were talking about Mars Hill a couple of weeks ago, here's what he said. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life." God gives life and breath and everything else. "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and in the boundaries of the lands." God did this, why? God did this so that they would seek him. Just as Anne read at the beginning of the service, we are to ask, seek, and knock. God did this so that we could seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. "For in him we live and move and have our being." See, once again, we didn't create ourselves, did we? God created us. We are accountable to him. What's the second truth? The second truth is we rebelled. Mankind rebelled. We claimed to be wise. Adam and Eve, as we read, were hiding in the Garden of Eden. Why? Because they had rebelled against God. They decided that they knew better, that they could make a better decision than God could make. They listened to what Satan had to say. And so in their foolishness, they accepted Satan over Christ, or over the Lord. They thought they were smarter by making their own decisions, not asking and seeking the truth. We rebelled. As it says in Romans 1, verse 21 to 23, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to God to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles." Paul is talking here to the Romans about their idolatry. But it's the same basic principle that we, as humans, our wisdom is foolishness to God. And we rebelled. And those who started the first rebellion were hiding. They were hiding in the Garden of Eden. And then Paul goes on in verse 23 of chapter 3, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's the second truth. We're accountable to God, and we're all sinners. The third truth that you can find in the Bible, and that the Bible is true, is that the solution to humanity's sin is the sacrificial death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We participated in the communion today in recognition of that. You see, the bad news maybe is that we're accountable and that we're under God's wrath, that we are rebellious, and that we think we're wiser than our Creator. But there is good news, and that good news is that the righteousness of God and His grace, we can be justified. Once again, in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, "And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came from Jesus Christ." Oh, that's interesting. So we have God whom we are accountable to, we are sinners, and we have a Savior, thanks to God's grace, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. What's the fourth truth? We can be included in salvation. That's the fourth truth. In Luke chapter 5, 32, Jesus Christ said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And in Romans 3, 22, the righteousness, or this righteousness, is given through faith in Christ to all who believe. This faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Isn't that incredible? Our great Creator gave us His Word. His Word expounds on His creation. His Word tells us of who Christ is, what He has done, what He has done for us, and that He has sacrificed Himself for us. Those are the four truths. Who is the author of these truths? Who is the author? The author of these truths is written in Isaiah 45. "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. Apart from me, there is no God." If apart from God, there would be no creation. "I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." That is the author of the Word.
Amen.
That is the author of our truth. That is the author who tells us who we are in the whole scheme of things. And that out of His love, He allows us and gives us by His grace the opportunity for eternal life through repentance and faith. This is the gospel. That's what it is. This is the gospel. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. "Now, brothers and sisters," this is Paul calling, talking, "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. If you don't believe that God created this world, if you don't believe that what is written in this word," and when I mean written in this word, I mean all of it, not just the pieces we like, "then if you don't believe in that, you have no salvation. says, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance. What did he pass on? He passed on that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to what? He died for our sins according to what was written, the truth that has been given to us. That he was buried and that he was raised. And we just celebrated Easter. That he was raised on the third day according to what? According to the scriptures. It was written centuries before Christ was going to rise from the dead. And it was recorded in God's word for us. And that he appeared to Cephas or to Peter and then to the 12. Here it is, very summarized. Who made us? God. And we are accountable. What is our problem? We are our problem. We're sinners. And we will be judged. What is God's salvation? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he was the one who acted and saved us, to save us. And how can we be saved? By repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. If you know those four things, you know the gospel. If you know those four things, you know the gospel, because that is the truth. And the truth sets us free. And that truth is written for us and has been prepared for us and has been preserved for us for thousands of years. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the center of Christianity. It should be and is the foundation of our lives. We build our churches around this gospel, about this truth. We should speak about it and we should pray about it. This is the truth. God is the creator and he has a plan for each and every one of us. And God's word is a promise. As he had made promises before and filled them, his promises today for us is assurance of eternal life. You know, as I read the first part of this scripture earlier, it said, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? Who is God besides the Lord? And who is this rock except our God? I pray that you believe that God is the creator. You don't have to disprove evolution. You have to prove who God is. That's the difference. And that this word is his truth. And this truth sets us free. And this truth is those four basic things that we've just gone through. And I pray that we will look forward to the day when we can walk in the cool of the morning with God. And we won't be hiding. We won't hide, because the truth will have brought us to eternal life and to be with Christ our Savior. Father in heaven, we just thank you very much for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior. Give us the faith, the understanding, the confidence in knowing that your word is truth. And that as we understand your word and you reveal your word to us as we grow spiritually, that we draw closer to you and we praise you and we thank you for your word and we thank you for what you and your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, has done for us. And we can thank you for the Holy Spirit that you give us upon our repentance and faith. And that we can go forward with confidence. And that if ever day we are ever challenged about who is the Creator, we can say, "You are the mighty one, Lord God. You are the creator. This is how the earth was formed, and this was why it was formed for us." And that one day, we too will walk in the cool of the morning with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I didn't know why I was not.